Goodbye! Hello, Heisman!
20, 25, 30, 35,
40, 45, 50,
45. There goes Davis!
Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game!
The NCAA has unwittingly stumbled into a real-life episode of Suits today. Welcome in, everyone. Another episode of The Three Technique, a college football podcast at the intersection of the X's and O's and the Jimmys and the Joes. I'm Mitch Mason, joined by my lead counsel, Trey Reeves, Garrett Turney as well. Trey, the NCAA is not following the advice on your T-shirt, not living Moss right now. They are in a world of hurt as it pertains to maybe they finally got caught putting the cart before the horse one too many times. We're here to try and make a little bit of sense out of it in this emergency podcast.
Yeah, it's been an eventful last couple of days, really a last couple of weeks on the NIL front, on the NCAA investigation front, not just the Tennessee bombshell that dropped yesterday, but also Florida State, Florida, a couple other schools. And, you know, we've been seeing tweets that from very respected people that are saying this is not over. There's going to be a lot more schools that are coming under the microscope of the NCAA before this is all said and done.
It is going to be, I think, a cataclysmic event. And we're going to be talking about maybe this is one of the final dominoes that falls against the NCAA. Garrett, as you look at this, the possibility of as many states as there are in this great union joining these lawsuits against the NCAA, currently we have Tennessee and Virginia in it, it almost feels like the NCAA's papier-mâché guise of power has completely faded away, and now the states and the state governments are rising up against this entity that has long been nothing but a figurehead.
Yeah, man, a lot of a 10th Amendment getting invoked here, man. It's really tough to unite America on anything. And we know that our sports teams tend to unite us on stuff. But, man, if you can unite, like, all of sports, that's where you've really done something crazy. You have to do something really, really right, or most likely, as the NCAA has figured it out, really, really wrong. And, yeah, man, it's crazy to see what's happened. Whenever this broke, and the Tennessee story broke, I tweeted out a GIF of The Undertaker because it feels like the NCAA just woke up and is now deciding to look for blood. I'm like, where have you been the past several years? You know, if we're wanting to, you know, have this whole conversation about enforcement now, right? It's just bizarre that they've decided now they're going to decide to, you know, step up and get to the plate. It's like the guy, you know, he wakes up too late for class and now he's running behind and then he wants to pretend like nothing happened. It's just bizarre. I have no idea how they're going to try to pull this one out. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be more fun to watch probably all of college football just revolt against it and be like, nope, I don't recognize it. You know, the you have no power here moment. So, yeah, I'm excited for college football to exercise those state rights.
And, Garrett, I think that's what amazed me most about yesterday. With usually we see university presidents and people in charge of universities stay really quiet. The Tennessee chancellor did not rest her case. She went scorched earth in her statement towards the NCAA, and it was fascinating to see that sort of reaction because I just can't remember a time where someone in power at a university has come out that strongly against the NCAA on record.
Well, so that's where I want to start. And Trey, I'm going to kick this to you maybe to set the stage, right? So very, very quick overview. We have 2021 is when NIL officially becomes legal, right? But the NCAA really just said, okay, NIL is legal. You can pay athletes or athletes can get paid, I guess. How you do that or maybe some of the ways you shouldn't do that, like, we'll figure it out. But athletes can get paid. And so, of course, the free market went to work and guys started getting paid and girls started getting paid. And then the NCAA started kind of retroactively going, whoa, partner, you can get paid, but not that way. and certainly not that way. And you for sure can't do that. And all of this has culminated into a ledger of sorts where the NCAA now wants to go back as many as 2 and 3 years ago to say, well, we know we said this was legal and we didn't exactly say you couldn't do this, but now we say you couldn't do that. And we're going to punish you for that. And that is where we pick up the story now with Tennessee having an investigation just closed for the Jeremy Pruitt era and recruiting violations that for sure took place. The NCAA then opens up a new investigation against Spire Sports, a collective down there in Knoxville, and the Tennessee Athletic Department saying that in 2022, there were multiple recruiting violations, inducements that are not legal now that were used to woo five-star athletes there. You mentioned Chancellor Plowman's fiery retort to the NCAA. She said, and I quote, "The University of Tennessee complied with the interim NIL policy and guidance as it was put into place by the NCAA, and neither the collective nor student athletes broke any rule or guidance document as they existed at the time any actions were taken," end quote. The complaint has long been that the NCAA doesn't have any sort of uniform standards. They don't have any quick timing. They never act in a timely fashion. And now Tennessee and Virginia are holding their feet to the fire there.
Yeah. And, you know, we see the lawsuit come out of that. We see, I think a lot of people are taking the side of Tennessee in this space because of exactly what the chancellor said. We've just had no steady hand throughout all of this, right? It's been wild, wild west. We've talked about that ad nauseum on the show. And the NCAA, like Garrett was saying, just wants to come in now a couple years later and say, whoa, 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 guys, no, you can't do that. Well, we were all up operating under your standards where there weren't a lot of rules and there weren't a lot of things. And you guys just kind of fiddled and messed around until it started getting completely out of your control. You're also trying to throw a Hail Mary in the United States Congress right now. And that's, you know, whether or not that works out for the NCAA, I don't know. But this is something that they had every opportunity to get in front of. They had every opportunity to, you know, make guidance for this that everybody could have as clear and understandable and everybody could be on the same page. But instead, they wanted to fight this for so long when the writing was on the wall that this was going to happen. Instead of sitting down together as member institutions and creating policy, the leadership of the NCAA just decided, you know, maybe if we just don't pay attention to this, it'll go away. And now that's all coming to a head. And the schools aren't happy. The ones that give the NCAA power are the ones that are now questioning whether or not that power should exist.
Garrett, the key giveaway, as the Athletic writes from Plowman's letter, was a quote that says, quote, "No member institution could follow future guidance prior to it being given, let alone interpret it," end quote. The NCAA has, as we've said, has made its bed in kind of retroactively trying to say, no, wait, I know you're doing it this way. And we didn't explicitly say you couldn't, but we would really like you to not do it that way. Now it feels like after all of this backroom talk, and not even backroom talk, very public talk, that the NCAA is a joke of an institution. It holds no real power. That very similar to our currency, it's more like a social construct. And as long as we agree that it has value, it has value. That very well might be coming to an end. In your mind, as you sit back, you look at Twitter melting down over this today, does it seem like it could be founded in logic and reason that the NCAA might cease to exist because of this?
Well, you know, the NCAA and what it's trying to do, I'm going back to the quote. We've done this a couple times on the show, but, you know, he's going to make a return. It's like Captain Barbossa, right? The rules are more like guidelines. You know, there's not really a lot that the NCAA can enforce. They don't have to enforce it when they don't want to. And this is kind of the irony of this whole situation is, originally, the model was just, hey, we'll let state law dictate how NIL runs at any of these, you know, institutions. And so you'd be able to say, like, oh, in the state of Texas, if they have a certain law about who can get paid when and how much they could get paid and who's allowed to contribute and this, that, and the other, that's how the original model worked, right? And so when you look through that, it was obviously uneven. And so then you had states changing laws, states changing the way they did things, universities trying to see what they can get away with, what they can't get away with. And at the end of the day, if you don't give like strict guidance and strict rules, then of course these teams are going to do what they need to find the advantage, right? It's a cutthroat game, right? These are coaches getting paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and, you know, fan bases that are super, you know, rabid and ready for a championship, and they want everything they can. And if, you know, their rival school's getting a guy and you're not getting a guy, then you're on the hot seat and now it's time to, you know, cut you. And so you're going out there, you're going to find anything you can. You're going to say, can we find a donor who's got a little bit of money? Can we find this guy to give him a fake commercial? Can we find anything we can do? Up to the point now where it's all just collectives directly funding players. And look, if this is what you want, like, great. I have no issue with this if we're going to be public about it, right? If we're just going to be, you know, open and honest and transparent and say, look, the desire for, you know, what we're doing in the NCAA, what we're doing in college football, the desire is just we're going to pay players and it's going to be, you know, free agency, and we're going to do that. Great. Let's do that. Let's structure it. Let's, you know, get something together so that there can be caps for teams, similar to like how there used to be no scholarship limits. Now there are scholarship limits. Let's do something like that with NIL, right? Tell them you only got this much money. You can budget it however you want to. If you need a D tackle, it's coming out of your pocketbook, right? And put a cap on it, right? That's perfectly fine. But the irony now is that with this whole situation starting off with the states, now it's the states coming back together and saying, well, hold on a second. You didn't tell me I could or couldn't do this. And now you want to come back like you were saying, Mitch, and after the fact litigate it. It almost feels like, you know, when you were a kid and, you know, your mom would like come up with something like, hey, you get off those video games to clean your room. And you're like, well, I already did clean my room. She's like, well, I was told you to take out the trash. And you're like, you didn't tell me to take out the trash. You're just making something up because you want me to stop what I'm currently doing, right? This is almost what the NCAA is doing. It's just making up chores so that later on it can be like, no, I told you to do this. And that's exactly why you're in trouble. And so now it's, you know, it's leaving us, the kids, the other institutions sitting around like, you're just making stuff up because you're mad at us. Tennessee fans have to be livid, right? I mean, they just got for the McDonald's bags. Now they're going to get got for doing stuff that everybody else does. They got to feel like they got a target on their back. If I was a Tennessee fan, I would just be screaming at this point.
Guys, I just happened to have Paul Feinbaum on the radio yesterday when this broke. And oh my God, his first caller of the day was some Tennessee fan that was going back to Peyton Manning not winning the Heisman in 1998.
Oh, no.
Much of a target they had on his back, and Paul like rightfully called him out for just being a loser, but it was hilarious. The guy had been banned from Madison Square Garden because of the Sweet 16 game. It was awesome. But all that being said, I want to make sure I say this, because don't hear what we're not saying. I think it'd be easy to hear this show and think that we're coming away saying that there shouldn't be any rules. That is not what right. We're saying. I think all three of us are very pro some sort of NIL regulation. It just needs to be mutually agreed on by everybody and written down on paper. This is what you can do. This is what you cannot do. And here's the punishment if you do what you cannot do. And we all agree to it. And we say, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and we just move forward.
Well, Trey, you're so right, because look, we've been talking about this for the last several years doing this podcast and following NIL. We've kind of gotten to watch it a lot more closely than maybe the average fan who just watches their team or kind of follows along, right? We're seeing what a lot of these teams are doing. We're seeing what, you know, a lot of people across the nation are doing to get guys and get recruits and, you know, get guys in the transfer portal, whatever else. And one of the things we've kind of said, I've said this several times, is this is going to self-regulate at some point. Like at some point, there's going to be a bursting point where the whole thing's got to pop, right? Yeah. Where, you know, donors are going to go and put up millions of dollars a year for 7-5, right? They're only going to do that so many years in a row before they realize it's not going to be a good return on their investment. And then the market will kind of level out. And we've been saying there need to be some kinds of rules. It's not going to go like this forever. But if there's no rules, I think the people that want to say doom and gloom and college football is over is kind of right. Because if there's no rules, then you can just do whatever you want to. You know, it just depends on who the NCAA wants to pick on that day and, you know, which team they want to come after that day. And they can say, well, you can't go to the postseason for a couple of years or something like that. There need to be some set of rules. We want rules. We just want rules and then go, not let's try to enforce rules that maybe should have been. We can't go to the past. You can't. Because it's not bad, like going back to my example, it's not bad that your mom would ask you to take out the trash. It's just the fact that she's asking you you know, now and saying that she used to say it too. Like, that's not how it is. It's not how it's been. The NCAA is just lying at this point and saying like, oh, that's against the rules. It wasn't against the rules. There were no rules. There were, you know, again, like Barbosa, guidelines.
Well, yeah. So I'm going to use a very popular anecdote to describe this, right? The highway where the rules and regulations for NIL are like the speed limit. That doesn't mean that everyone is magically going to go the speed limit once it's enforced, but you know now how much you can reasonably get away with without being caught, right? You're in the left-hand lane, speed limit 75, you're going 80, but you're just not trying to go 85 and be the guy that gets pulled over, right? Everyone, listen, no one is perfectly going to play by the rules at this level of competition, right? I mean, there's a reason why there's the saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Do I agree with that? No, of course not. I'm never going to advocate for cheating. But that is the state of college athletics. Like, whether you choose to believe that or not, like, every single program is doing something to at least bend the rules, because that's honestly the competitive environment that we're in right now. So it's not really a commentary on that. What it is a commentary on is needing the speed limit to know where you are on the highway, right? You've got programs that, like Tennessee, were evidently going 85 in a 75, and they didn't know the speed limit was 75. Now, quick disclaimer, because I can hear the folks on Twitter, you guys, you morons, how did Tennessee not know that their, you know, collective couldn't use a private jet to fly Nico from California to Knoxville? In this particular case, I actually think the NCAA and Charlie Baker have a reasonable case to say, hey, Tennessee, like, you did this thing wrong. The time to call them out for that was in 2022, not 2 years later after the fact, when Tennessee's collective, Spire Sports, was very public about the fact that not only were they using all of these, you know, toys to get recruits' attention, but that they were also going to spend 7-8 figures worth of cash on recruits. This was not some sort of secret inducement. These were not secret flights that someone tracked the tail number on a plane and figured out, oh, wait a minute, hang on now. That's where this flight was coming from. That's who owns this plane. Spire Sports was very, very public about this. Their case, and now the state of Tennessee and the state of Virginia's case, is that the interim NIL policy was so vague and convoluted that in the world of law and order, it was not black and white enough to now slap new rounds of sanctions on Tennessee, to hold these student athletes and the administration financially, in many cases, responsible for breaking rules that in their mind they were not able to follow because they didn't exist. That's really where we are right now. Not did Tennessee kind of break the rules or not break the rules. They did. They used a private jet to fly guys out. Miami's been getting hit on the hand for that for, you know, years, yachts before that, right? But that's where we are in terms of the legal battle.
Yeah. And again, NCAA, if you wanted to solve this problem, just step up and say that's a no-no from the get-go, right? Like you're saying, like, do that in 2022. We're not having this conversation today. And yes, teams are still going to find a way to bend the rules. Like you're saying, Mitch, like, this is a very competitive environment. There's a lot of money involved. People really want their alma maters to win. But when we, I don't know that we've ever in the entire history of the NCAA had uniform enforcement and uniform policy. And I think that's where we're maybe questioning, is this the right governing body, and how long is the NCAA even going to exist as a governing body, and how long are these schools just going to put up with it?
It's a fantastic question. Certainly. And it's kind of, I guess, as we put a bow on this, a little bit shorter of an episode here, but as states may be starting to line up to take their shots at the NCAA, my question to y'all is this. Mark Emmert stepped down and was replaced by Charlie Baker late last year. Mark Emmert had a rap for not enforcing anything, just turning a blind eye on whatever happened and never actually upholding the law. Charlie Baker has come in and immediately reversed course to the point where when Michigan was under investigation, he was publicly releasing evidence that they had against the athletic department. That was something that the NCAA had never previously done. Everything was so hush-hush behind closed doors. Is Charlie Baker, first of all, justified in the stance that he's taken that no, now there is a bright line. You uphold the rules. You have to play by the rules. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. But is it too little too late for the NCAA?
I think yes and yes, honestly. Like, I personally, I would prefer we have very openly talked about and openly discussed rules and consequences. I think that would be good for the sport. I think a lot of what people complain about with where college football is headed would be solved by just very clear guidelines and very clear consequences for breaking those guidelines. And if you're not going to enforce the rules, why even have rules in the first place? I think he's more than justified in having those rules and enforcing those, but the NCAA has just been so toothless for so long. I think you can go all the way back even to, you know, the 1980s when every other year someone in the Southwest Conference was bitten, put on probation. That all culminates with SMU getting the death penalty. Ever since that happened, it seems like they've just been scared to do what they did to SMU, right? Like, they saw how that affected SMU. And obviously there have been major, major penalties that have been enforced since the SMU death penalty, but nothing as drastic as even was done before the death penalty leading up to that, like scholarship limitations, bowl bans, all that. Mm-hmm. It was way different back in the 80s. Go watch the Pony Excess documentary, 30 for 30. It's a great look at that. But I think it is too little too late. I think for too long, they've just kind of let it be, you know, we know this is happening, but, you know, it's just part of the game. Figure out how to get it, figure out how to get it done, figure out how to cheat in a different way that isn't as obvious. If it's super obvious, we're going to have to do something. And you can't, when schools have operated under that way for so long, you can't just flip the switch and expect them to all come along right off the bat.
Right. I mean, you can't treat it like it's a vacuum, right? This isn't, you know, day one for, you know, Charlie Baker. It's not day one for the NCAA, right? He can't just walk in and be like, all right, guys, it's time to lay down the law. Like, that's great. You got a mess to clean up, though, right? Like, I think even, like, make the comparison to the Pac-12, right? We talked at length about the Pac-12 last offseason about how they had failed as a conference for a long time. And then, obviously, you turn over the guy at the top. That's cool. He's maybe doing some good things, but the ship is sinking, right? The ship is already sinking. No, it's taken on too much water. There's nothing you can really do to save it at this point. It's going to take a miracle, right? You could also compare it to even, you know, at the top of a country, right? If you're talking about a presidential election in America, you could be a guy who comes in and decides, I want to pick a new set of policies, but it's not like the rest of this country's history didn't happen, right? Everything has already happened up to this point that's brought you to where you are. And the same thing is true for the NCAA. They've done everything they've done up to this point. All of the member institutions have reacted and they've gone, you know, this way and that way and zigged and zagged to try to get around rules or get around guidelines or whatever else it is. And, you know, up to this point, that's what's happened. If you want to try to enforce it now, cool. But just the game has been so different for so long, right? Like, are you telling me Nico's the only guy who's flown in a private jet for recruiting purposes? I don't know. I'm not going to go with you on that one. I think there's loads that have. So, you know, when I think about this situation specifically, go ahead, enforce the rule, but go find every guy who's currently playing college football, who's flown on a private jet, and go and enforce it there too. Because I think what you'll have is, you know, there's going to be like six schools by the end of it that are eligible to play in the postseason. So, you know, congratulations, you know, Eastern Michigan or whatever, you're the national champion by default at this point, right? Because nobody else is clean or something, right? So, you know, I have no idea, you know, where they're going to go from here. I don't know how you dig your way out of this. But again, the ship is sinking. The ship is taken on water. I don't know that there's anything you can do at this point besides just doing some kind of a total overhaul and saying, let's hit the reset button. But, I mean, realistically, that's not possible.
Well, I feel like we're headed towards the Yalta conference a little bit here. I think if the NCAA... Yeah. Goes away. I mean, honestly, I think you're going to have the powers that be all sit down in a room and hash out a new charter, right? I mean, like, there's nothing that ties the NCAA to these conferences. It's like our currency. Like, it's a social construct. Like, if the NCAA yeah. could go away tomorrow and there would be a whole lot of chaos initially, there would be a whole lot of, okay, now what? But the conferences would survive. The schools would figure out a way to...
We would play college football next year without the NCAA.
Yeah, we would find
football
a way.
Football wouldn't have a problem. The other sports would have a major problem. Yes. Very quickly, but yeah.
Yes. And you know, maybe that's a discussion for another episode. That, you know, then you go into, okay, do you have one new governing body, a new commissioner? Do you have, you know, the conferences take over? I think, Trey, to your point, just, you know, yes, football, the major sports, I think basketball could survive as well. But
swimming and diving, deal without $1 billion from the NCAA tournament, but they could probably figure that out.
They'd
rename it and somebody else would host 64 teams. It's, yeah. You know.
Exactly. So a whole lot that we just get to wait and watch. I mean, goodness, the sport never fails to deliver headlines. You know, you saw Jeff Hafley leave Boston College today to go join the Green Bay Packers as a coordinator because of it. The state of the game is wild. It's topsy-turvy, and it certainly creates a lot of headlines. And now the NCAA is back in the headlines, but for all the wrong reasons once again. That'll do it for this edition of the 3 Tech Pod. If you did enjoy the video, please like and subscribe. If you're new over here on the YouTube channel, listening on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, we do an off-season episode once every single week. We've got draft content coming up around the corner. We will have an insider from the Senior Bowl coming up next week, I believe. So stay tuned for that. We'll advertise that as we get a little bit closer. But keep it right here on the 3 Tech for all your off-season college football and NFL draft news. For Trey Reeves, Garrett Turney, I'm Mitch Mason. Thanks for hanging out with us. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Gracious, yep. How about it?